Hi guys, welcome to the third ever Mystery Nerdcast. I'm your host, Chris Buda Machingo. As always, I have my sound engineer and co-host, Miguel Torres.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And then, again, I have my very good friend, also a friend of the podcast, Kenny Liu.
Howdy, guys.
So, right now we are going to be talking about Naruto. Naruto is a manga we have all personally read. It's something that's big in the culture, even though I would say the last few Anime Expo, I haven't seen as many Naruto cosplayers as there have been in previous years. It is kind of something that you always kind of had on the back burner that you were always reading, just based on the views of it alone on Manga Reader and a couple other sites. Those were, even with things like Attack on Titan and Sword Art Online really breaking out into the anime world and becoming more of the dominant force, you still had the highest rated and highest viewed manga being Naruto. So just based on that, Naruto has retained its popularity even when the peak of it had really died down. So we all watched and read Naruto, but I feel that a lot of people came into it at some level in various forms. Of course, there were a lot of new readers and stuff when Toonami first started showing it, who had never heard of Naruto before. So let me pass it off to Miguel Torres. When was the first time you read or watched or even heard about Naruto?
They mentioned it to me during, when I was in high school. They talked about this manga about ninjas, and I was interested, but didn't know any ways to find it. Eventually, I went online, and yes, I actually went to those sites where they had the escalations. So I went and started reading the manga from the beginning. When Toonami started airing the show, I started watching it. But then I was more into manga than into the show because of all the filler that they keep on jamming on the anime. I read it from the beginning. I was excited for a time jump, and I stuck with it until the very end.
Kenny, when was the first time you read, watched, or even heard about Naruto?
So Naruto came out in 1999. I didn't really get into it or heard about it until actually 3 years after, when it actually still wasn't in America. So I can say, like Miguel, I'm kind of like a hipster to this. So I was watching Naruto or reading Naruto before it was cool. But my friend...
Did you eat the pizza when it wasn't cool?
Yeah, actually, I didn't. And you can definitely attest to all the scalding. But my friend in middle school got me into it. And I definitely enjoyed reading it. And then I started watching the anime. And I started torrenting. Actually, I started downloading it from, for some of you guys who may know, Stage 6. An old kind of YouTube-esque hosting site. But I watched all of that, so I pretty much started watching Naruto anime and downloading it like way before it even got big in America. So by the time America got it, I was already getting ready for the Shippuden arc. I would say I was already in episode 150 before I got to America. So I've gotten pretty far in my reading and watching of it.
So for me, it's kind of a similar story to both of those. I used to go to an internet cafe all the time called Ice, which was down the street from my house. Oh, I
remember that. Internet cafe? Where are those?
Yeah. What's an internet cafe? Funny you should ask. But anyway, so I used to go to this internet cafe to play Counter-Strike with my friends. That was just down the street from my house, and we used to just sit there and play for hours and hours and hours. So sometimes the guys would have a projector up, and they would be showing anime kind of on the screen, so I'd passively watch that. I remember my first ever exposure to Naruto is I was kind of watching it passively on the screen while I was dead on, I think I was playing Dust, just like everybody plays Dust in Counter-Strike. I was watching the screen while I was waiting to respawn, and the first scene I ever saw was when Orochimaru bit Sasuke's neck and gave him the cursed mark. And I saw them throwing like knives and stuff. I was like, that's kind of interesting or whatever. And then later in middle school, somebody had brought the now defunct American Shonen Jump to school, and they had let me read it, and one of the things in there was Naruto, and I read it, I go, man, I think that was the thing that was on TV at ICE. Looks pretty interesting, but I really kept it really on the back burner until I think when Naruto was learning the Rasengan from Jiraiya. At that point, I really got into it. I read all the back issues up until that point, and then it just never stopped for me until recently it ended. So that's it for Naruto, except, well, we'll get into that. So that's kind of my first exposure to Naruto. One of the things that really caught me about Naruto is I liked a lot of the characters. So just like any genre fiction that you ever read, whether it's a comic book or a manga or a novel or anything, you're going to have a favorite character probably. I already know Kenny's answer for this, but I'm going to pass it to Kenny first. Kenny, what's your favorite character in Naruto and why is he your favorite character? I only say he and not he or she because I know the answer.
So my favorite character is Mifune. No, it's Kakashi. Yes, Chris is right. He knows my favorite character. Kakashi is my favorite character because he actually brought a lot of the qualities that I like from my kind of one of my few initial like exposure to anime, like Cowboy Bebop, Spike Spiegel. So they had that very similar aloofness and that mysterious past and why they are aloof and why they have the way they do the things they do. So yeah, with Kakashi, him being my favorite character is because he's able to do, he has his way of doing things, and when he does it, it gets the same results as any other way. He's off the books, he does things his way, and heck, he's one of the most powerful characters in the series. So for me, his backstory was really interesting in how he got his Sharingan, his abilities and how he's so powerful, and the backstory for that. So being at the age of like age of 12, he became a Jonin and then became part of Anbu. So really for Kakashi, he's my favorite character because he's such a cool character and such the way that I one day would hope to imitate him in some way. I guess with the one eye, you know, head bandana covering.
You would like somebody to cut out your right eye.
Left eye.
Okay.
All right, left eye. Order down.
Right. Well, if you look at it, every cool character is in any anime or manga. The left eye is always the one hurt. Come on, think about it.
Yeah, it's fairly true. All right, Miguel, who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is actually Jiraiya. Yes, I really like him. Well, he was a teacher for the four Hokage. He taught Naruto his father's techniques, the Rasengan. He is a really lovable character. Most of the time he's funny. But when he is serious, he can be a real trouble to his enemies. I mean, when Itachi showed up to take Naruto, and he used Amaterasu, the immortal flame technique that never goes out. He worked around it. He didn't stutter at all. He took him. He could have even taken Kisame, but his priority was to protect Naruto. If he wanted to, he could have killed both Kisame and Itachi back then. He's a, like I said, he's a funny character, but he's also a no-nonsense character when he has to be.
So, I'm going to have to say that my favorite character in Naruto, and one of the reasons I really got into it was because of Itachi. Because yeah. I really loved Itachi and his techniques especially. I thought, basically, at the first part of the manga, Itachi's like the most powerful character you meet at the time. And he has, like, the baddest-ass techniques. And even though you kind of figure out that, you know, there are people more powerful than him, there's definitely, especially even the main characters become more powerful than him, but the Amaterasu, which at the time was exclusive to him. Sasuke later got that, but I really like also how he was cold and calculated and that he didn't really seem to have a lot of emotions. And I actually liked him better later when you kind of figure out that he's not this emotionless robot. He did this all for a reason. Spoiler alert, he stopped a coup d'etat of his clan against
his village.
He went against his own people in order for the greater good to prevail, or what he thought was the greater good to prevail. That's up to the that's up to the more invested nerds to
to debate about.
Yeah, to debate whether he was right or wrong, but he sacrificed everything so that his brother and the entire village could prosper. Now, was that exactly good? To be honest, it wasn't the best, because people just didn't get it. And because everything was hidden, people didn't know why the Uchiha clan was eradicated, and he was shunned and expelled from the village because he did that. And when he was ultimately, I would say he was the hero of Konoha, and they kind of explain that in the manga too, is he's the hero, and they really, really shun him, and to the point where he just goes out and becomes an Akatsuki because he's a hidden nin. And he takes all the blame for himself, which Sasuke tried to do, but, you know, we all know how that ended. So that really, especially the intro, all happens. It's shortly after the Haku storyline, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
It happened after Haku.
So shortly after the Haku storyline, that happened, which leads me to our next topic here, which is, what is your favorite story arc in Naruto? So I started with, who did I start with last
Kenny.
Time? Kenny. Start with Miguel. Miguel, what's your favorite story arc?
My favorite story arc up to this point, well, now, will be the Pain arc. The reason why is because up to this moment, we have, like, powerful ninjas, yes, but their powers were limited to an extent. But when Pain was introduced, when the ultimate, quote-unquote, eye technique was revealed, the Rinran, the fights were shoot to a total different scale of power. You had, like, air sharing techniques that would, when a single gesture could destroy an entire village. And that, to me, was interesting. And also the way that the characters interact with each other, you know, people who you didn't even know they existed, they have a deeper past with characters that you had known since the beginning or towards the middle part of the series. Like Pain being an actual student of Jiraiya and what drove Pain to do what he wanted to do. That was a much more complexity on the story. And I think that's one of the highlights of it on itself.
Kenny, favorite story arc.
My favorite story
arc. It better not be mine.
It is.
It might be. My favorite story arc is the start of pretty much ending up with the whole, fourth hidden, shinobi war. The reason why that one's my favorite is because, really, funny enough, they call it hidden when the whole world is involved.
The whole world knows.
But yes, the fourth hidden shinobi war was my favorite because it introduced all the characters, powerful characters working together towards one common goal, to defeat and fight Madara. So reason why I thought my favorite is just because it put all the characters that I like in command, but especially Kakashi being command in the second squadron of mid-range. But when he was having the fight, Zabuza and Haku again, and Zabuza still kept his mind, was like, kill me, Kakashi. And Kakashi goes for the kill, but you see the whole story arc happening from the Haku arc happen again. And then he becomes mindless. And then Kabuto makes him mindless and is about to cut through Kakashi and Haku. Kakashi moves away, defeats Zabuza and everything, but picks up Zabuza's sword. And then you look at him say, like, my favorite line was there was literally, him saying that, this is, like, the world knows him as the copy ninja, Kakashi, or Kakashi of the Sharingan, and he's about to fuck shit up. Like, he literally was like, they haven't seen me angry, and now I'm angry. And he just goes and fucks shit up. But, like, the whole arc itself was just a fun arc in terms of, like, everyone working together. You see different jutsu mixing. You just saw that just exactly how powerful these nations are and what they're like. It's just like watching a World War II movie or something. Is that you see all these nations working together with different techniques and style and just cohesively working towards an enemy that is ridiculously powerful. So, you know, for me, that was a fun arc. And especially seeing all the old Hokages, all the Mizukage, all the Tsuchikage, all of them, all the old villains, every single, like, histories that, characters that you've known in the past, all coming back and just really wrecking stuff. And then we find out that Tobi is Obito, and that Obito is not Madara, Obito, and that the Madara is actually dead, that he brought back, and fucking just ridiculous shit.
Hoax!
I would just like to state for the record that I called Obito being Madara way before they revealed it. Just want to put that on record. I would have to say my favorite storyline, though those were good, and there were a lot of good story arcs that we're not even mentioning, but I think my favorite was the Sasuke arc right before Shippuden started, because that was really a gear change in what Naruto was. To be honest, I'm not sure anybody, I mean, we saw it coming on some level, but then again, we didn't. It was a drastic shift in Sasuke's personality. Now, he had always kind of been dark and brooding, and he had been kind of like that. But then I'm Sasuke. He comes to some realization that he needs to.
He needs power.
He needs power, and in order to do that, he has to break away. Which, to be honest, at some level shocked me that they weren't just going to have them grow up together and be Squad 7 and him just kind of maybe go away for maybe a story arc, but then come back. They actually severed him completely from the team, had a time jump, and then he didn't come back after that even. So for them to make that kind of drastic change in the positioning of the comic, because it's not that the comic didn't have weight before that, but before that it was very much like, okay, there's these friends or frenemies in the case of Naruto and Sasuke. There's these friends who are growing up and they're learning ninja techniques together, and they occasionally fight somebody who's much bigger than any of them. But then you've got one of the main characters doing a reverse Vegeta and just completely leaving the main cast and becoming a main antagonist for most of the series. Now, that being said, most people still considered him part of the main cast, but he really did get put on the back burner for a lot of the middle ending part until probably the very last arc when he killed Itachi. And then kind of that's when they brought him more to the forefront. Then by the end of the series, he does rejoin his friends. But up until that point, you didn't know if he was going to rejoin. Even me and Kenny, who would sit there and debate about this for hours before it would end, We didn't come up with a definitive answer for whether he would rejoin or not. We just kind of sat there and said, hey, there's a couple ways this can go. And it actually, to be honest, it went basically the most fluffy route that we had.
We actually came, funny enough, with the how it end. I don't think it's one of our questions, but how we ended, we actually kind of called it, because we were sitting there one night and we'd be like, it's either going to be one of them dead, both of them dead. And then we were like sitting there going, they're both going to fight and both of them are going to be fucked up somehow. So we kind of called it. I mean, not saying that Naruto was unpredictable, and it's fairly predictable, but
it's a shonen manga.
It's a shonen manga. Yes. So for us to like call it, but yeah, Chris is right. Some of the things that they did, we were just like, yeah, we can see it, but we weren't sure yet. And we could never find like, this is it. This is how it's going to end.
Right. And one of the biggest things that we were debating about is what Sasuke and Naruto's point of view if they were going to meet at the end, which they eventually did after a lot of back and forth with that whole thing. But that kind of brings us to our next question too, which is, do you agree with Naruto's point of view where everybody should be together and kind of strive for togetherness and that's how we'll make a better world? Or Sasuke's point of view where he'll be the main villain and everybody will strive to beat him, and through that the world will find unity?
I feel like, honestly, with the viewpoints, the best typical viewpoint in Shonen is Naruto's viewpoint. But I think I like Sasuke's viewpoint because it's more dynamic. Because really, realistically, no one's gonna work together. It's really hard, especially with these countries that have been at war at each other for so long. But with Sasuke's viewpoint is that have a greater enemy than any of them combined and work together. And that's essentially what, if anything, Sasuke's viewpoint came to fruition if you really think about it. Who got every single nation to work under one? Madara. And really, the whole arc leading up to the end was really Sasuke's point of view the whole time. One great enemy trying to fight, or great enemy becoming a threat to the whole world and everyone working together. Now, funny enough, Madara's point of view was more like, I'm going to control everyone because the whole world's fucked up. But I would say at the end of the day and how the manga ended, it was on Naruto's point. But we have yet to see the actual extended stories that they're going to start putting out. But I think I agree with more Sasuke's point because it goes to, again, I love Batman, so we're going to bring that in, is in The Dark Knight with Harvey Dent. Do you be the hero or do you stay there long enough so that you can become the villain? And I think that's what Sasuke did, is that he was a hero at the first part, slowly working towards a villain and then eventually becoming a villain. But he came back, so it was interesting to see that. So it was kind of like Sasuke's, at what point of view came to some sort of fruition as well. So, but I agree with Sasuke more than I did with Naruto. Personally.
What about you, Miguel?
I agree more with Naruto. That's because of the small flaw that Sasuke's thinking is, yeah, he could unite everybody with him. I mean, against him. But the point is, like, the moment they defeat him, everything will fall apart. You know, it's a great plan, but it's a short-term plan, a short solution. Because when he will become the enemy of everyone, they won't be just out to stop him. They will be out to kill him. And eventually he will run out of ways to keep himself alive, you know?
That's true. I mean, they eventually killed Madara.
Yeah. So like I said, it is a thing that has to be seen in the long term. So that's mainly the only reason why am I agreeing with Naruto's point of view. How about you, Buddha?
I think I agree more. The thing is that I think realistically Sasuke's makes more sense, but I'm gonna have to go with Naruto's because when you get nations who are working together out of necessity, when the fault, you know, when finally the dust settles after you have surmounted whatever your goal was, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're all better for it. It just means you're going to revert back to what you were. And, you know, you could be better for it, but that's not a truth. That's a assumption almost, to where if you have Naruto's kind of
thinking
to where everybody's together, everybody loves each other, and we're all going to get along because we're all going to get along. It is an idealistic view of things, but if you can do that, kind of like us in Britain have done, us in France, other actual countries that exist in the world, our peace is a lot better than pieces of convenience. Our peace is, I mean, I'm not saying we never have conflicts with countries who we're on okay terms with. Look at Russia. But I feel like if everybody understood each other and at least could talk to each other, not because they had to, but because they wanted to, there would be a more solid foundation for peace. Also a more solid foundation for friendship, which is what peace breaks down to, is true peace breaks down to friendship, I feel. So, Naruto all the way, even though I think the world would prefer Sasuke, and it's a much easier route to take, but it's not a more final route. But, you know, nations will always have disagreements. In Naruto, there's five nations.
Five major nations.
There's also a lot of different other smaller nations, which again leads me to my next question, which is, which of the hidden villages would we see ourselves a part of? Now, for me personally, we're actually going to combine this question. So, what village would I like to be a part of? Also, which bloodline would we like to be a part of? So, I'm going to have to go with the Hidden Leaf, because they have the most badass bloodlines, in my opinion. Because I love eye techniques. In every piece of media I've ever watched, if somebody has an eye technique, I like it. And so when I saw that Naruto had eye techniques, especially, like I said, Itachi's techniques, I really liked that about it. I feel a lot of people did. So it's not that I'm trying to be going with what everybody says, but it's truly what I believe. I really like the Sharingan eye. The Byakugan's pretty cool too, but I would be Hidden Leaf so I could be, so I could harness the power of the Sharingan, or if I even could, the Rinnegan. I think I like the Sharingan better because I like the idea of what Kakashi's techniques around it were, which were you, copied your opponent's techniques and then used them against them. So I liked that idea of the Sharingan, how they could copy movements. Also, the Mangekyo Sharingan, I mean, Suano is badass. All three of the techniques that Itachi used were awesome, and I like really powerful, weird techniques, and I feel that that was very prevalent in the Sharingan. Whereas, I mean, the Byakugan was pretty straightforward, pressure points and stuff like that. The Rinnegan was actually the most abstract, but with the Rinnegan, you couldn't necessarily copy techniques or anything. So I'm going to have to give the edge to the Sharingan. Miguel?
For me, it will be the Mist, the Hidden the Mist Village. And, of course, the bloodline that will follow to that I actually like is a Haku's. You know, the one hand jutsu ability plus the mirror jutsu ability as well. I mean, the reason why I like the Hidden Mist is because of the way that they train their ninjas. That they have to be assertive, to go for the kill, no nonsense. I mean, I most of the other ninjas, yeah, they do go for the kill, but they kind of like take their time. Hidden Mist is do it quick, silent, and undetected as much as possible.
So they're real ninjas.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially one of the techniques I really like, it's Sabusa's, Blood Mist technique. He summons a tick mist where visibility is almost down to zero, and he strikes 8 different vital points.
It is a pretty cool technique. Kenny, and you can pick the same one as me. Kenny, what's your favorite? What village would you like to be a part of, and what bloodline? Now, they can be different, but...
Yeah, it's probably going to be the same, because I do like the Sharingan a lot. But after looking through, like, bloodlines and everything, I would definitely... this is kind of a cheating question, because more of the bloodline. My favorite village actually would probably want to be part of is either the Hidden Village of Cloud or the Hidden Village of Rock. Either the Tsuchikage or the Raikage, depending. But the cop-out would be that I would be able to implant, like how Kakashi has, the either Sharingan or even Aoi in the Hidden Village of the Mist, how he has a Byakugan actually implanted into his eye, and then like just have that work that way. Because I do love to eye technique, but I don't per se like the Hidden Village of the Leaf is actually very standard and typical. So of most village or most kind of like cities. So that's why like going out off the end, like I would like either the Hidden Village of the Rock or Hidden Village of the Clouds. And then of course go with like having a because I would say the bloodline doesn't have to relate to the village, but typically always does. But I would definitely want to try and like be Kakashi and have a Sharingan like implanted in my left eye, because you know I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Now the limitation to that is that obviously I would have the inability to keep the flow of chakra going or the minimal use of chakra like Kakashi. But again,
but I mean, like you don't like
he willed it really well. So I'm not going to even be you know yeah exactly.
I mean, like even to that point, you could just say you want the Sharingan to turn on and off because that's a more perfect version of what Kakashi does. I mean, you don't have to be exactly like Kakashi.
Well, I'm probably going to be exactly like Kakashi.
Okay. Kenny wants to be a normal human. That's what he's saying. Actually, Kakashi's not normal even without the eyes.
Yeah, he's not.
He's pretty badass.
So, even without the eye, and he does become a Hokage without any Sharingan.
Yeah. However, I think one of the coolest bloodline that I think that I just found, we recently found out about is the Jintun creation. Based off of the hidden village of the rock, which is, with Onoki and Mu, the former, or the two former Tsuchikages, their ability is they destroy things on an atomic level, and that's pretty ridiculous considering.
Oh, yes, atomic dust
technique. Yeah, like atomic dust techniques and everything. That was like, just
ridiculous.
Yes, exactly. So its ability to destroy things on like, on an atomic level, combining three blood, or elemental abilities, that's pretty crazy. Fire, earth, and, pretty much I think it's fire, earth, and, wind. To do that, that's pretty ridiculous.
I'm gonna have to change my answer, cause, I didn't even think about this as a bloodline, because I think about this a lot as a separate technique, because it was for most of the series, but Jugo's technique, which is exclusive to him, as I understand.
Well, that is actually, I believe it's an Uzumaki. He is an Uzumaki.
Wait, Jugo?
Yeah.
Jugo.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's part of a family branch.
Just the ability to turn into a demon and fight somebody, I think, would be cool.
He's the origin of the
curse seal.
Right. Yes. He is the origin of the curse seal. And I really, one of my favorite things in all anime is transformations. And he's one of the only people that can actually do a physical transformation. Now, there are others, Kisame being one of them. And, you know, anybody with a cursed seal can. And Naruto, of course, has different transformations. But, I mean, I like, the more demonic, the better, is my philosophy.
Well, also, another one that I think it will fit with you will be, the skeleton.
Yeah, the bone splinters. Yeah, no, I love that too. I like a lot of the bloodlines. The him manipulating his bones, that's awesome. I love that. Especially
your fucking spine and turn into a sword.
Yeah, that's great.
That's just badass.
That's also some. So basically, all bloodlines. I'll take all bloodlines.
Yeah, right.
cop out. But I mean, through all the bloodlines, through everything, Naruto's done, guys. Technically, Naruto is ended. That's it. So did we like the ending? Did we think it was a fitting ending? Do you think it was too fan servicey? Do you think it pulled its punches? Do you think they could have punched more? Do you think it punched enough? Let's start with Kenny on this one.
You know what? The ending was, in a way, a cop-out. But, you know, what's to expect? Really, you're not really expecting Shonen to really go something off the deep end or anything like that. You're going to get the ending that you will most likely want. It's that the hero wins in the end, and everything is going to be hunky-dory. You know, everything's good.
Devilman didn't. That was a shonen manga.
Yeah, but I would feel that Devilman being was an exception to the shonen manga, if you really think about it.
It's true.
Yeah, he's not the rule. He's the exception. But with Naruto, it ended how I thought it would, and a little bit some, and I enjoyed it. You know what? Going through almost the ridiculously, it's the 15 years that we've been reading it. You know what? It ended on the note that I think everyone could agree with.
Yeah.
You know what? It wasn't like, oh, the world isn't better and everyone's not working towards it. And, oh, look, everything's still fucked up. No, it's, oh, look, the world's actually taking a step towards what they were trying to resolve in the first place. However, what I would have liked was both Sasuke and Naruto die, leaving their legacy behind for someone else to pick up. But, hey, that's just me.
I mean, I would have liked that too, but I feel that that's what Madara and Hashirama kind of did.
Right, in a way, but I would say they didn't exactly fight to the death. Like in,
technically, they did.
Well, no. In the original fight, Madara was like, I succeed, we're working together, and then near the end, he was like, oh, fuck you guys, and then just leaves. And then he gets beaten badly, and then he goes...
Well, he was quote-unquote killed. In the legend, he was killed.
Right, no. But you remember in the Obito arc that we find out that he was not dead. He was just sitting
right there. Right, no. I'm not saying he actually died. I'm saying that symbolically he died.
No. I mean symbolically, but I'm talking about more like actual, like, Sasuke. Not like, because that wouldn't be the same. It would be more like... Because Hashirama stayed alive. He was perfectly fine. I'm talking about more like Naruto and Sasuke literally killing themselves in both at the same time in battle, which almost I thought was going to happen when they blew up.
That was pretty close.
That was pretty cool. When they blew each other's arm off, I thought, I was like, that's perfect. That was it. That was the ending I want. And then they were like, oh, by the way, their hands are fine. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, fine. You know what? I'll give it to them. I wanted that scene and I got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, what about you, Miguel?
I really did like the ending. Like Kenny said, it was most likely what we actually wanted. Some of us wanted to be Morton to die. Some people wanted Sasuke to die. Other people wanted Naruto to die. But to me, you couldn't have either one to die, at least in that battle, because in order for the world to succeed, to be a better world, they had to learn from both sides of the story. Naruto's achievements towards peace and bringing everyone together, and also the reminder of what can happen if someone takes the mantle of all the hatred on top of them, like Madara or Sasuke. So you technically need both of them to make the ending work.
I agree. Now, I'm kind of going to go fanboy on this one. I wanted Naruto to get killed by Sasuke, but I wanted him to see in that moment as he killed Naruto that Naruto was his true friend and that somebody could be his friend and he had a true friend in the world and he fucking killed him. And because of that, Sasuke would kind of not lead the Hidden Leaf Village, but he kind of did. That's fairly vague in the ending, but he is still there, kind of, sort of, not really. For him to see that and him be like, no, Naruto was right. And then, maybe not him leading the village, but just like passing on the gauntlet and being like, I was like this, but my friend really showed me what friendship and what togetherness can achieve, and you guys should push forward with that. Now, it would have been a little shakier to do that, but it could have happened. And so, I mean, the ending happened anyway, and basically it was rose petals everywhere. Neji died, but that was really the only wound we got.
Well, technically, Neji should have died in the Sasuke retrieval arc. He should have stayed until Shippuden. His death would have been more meaningful earlier on.
No, I think his death right there was just right, because it will lead into our next question. But,
well, yeah, his death was, I like that they just left him dead. They weren't like, we're going to have Pain get his spirit back.
Side note to that, God, I was totally prepared for Kakashi to die. Totally prepared in that Pain arc. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to bring everyone back. And that's up to Neji. But I was like, oh.
That was terrible.
Oh, so I was like, I was ready.
See, the thing is that if you're not going to kill characters, just don't kill them.
Yeah. Don't cock tease us like that.
Like, I think the only person I give a pass to, the only series I give a pass to, and it's not really even a pass, I don't really give them that much of a pass, but somewhat I give them a pass is Dragon Ball Z.
Wow, they have a cheat. They have a cheat built into the system.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's
the loophole is the Dragon Balls.
Yeah, the loophole is the point of this, or the initial point of the series. So, I mean, we like the ending. We wish it could have been more. But then we get an epilogue, which was chapter 700, where we see everybody's kids. We see everybody grown up. Everybody shacked together. Basically, with who we kind of thought they were going to be with. Or, like, official... the ships happened. The ships happened. So do we want a continuation of the series? Is the next question. And in my opinion, I think they should just end it. Cause, you know, there's so many pieces of media. I love comic books. Our last podcast was actually about superheroes. But the thing with superheroes is there's no linear storyline with superheroes. It's just, they bounce around.
There's multiple different universes.
There's multiple different universes and stuff like that. Whereas Naruto was this linear storyline. We had a beginning, a middle, an end. And I think too many successful franchises just continue, not because they have more to tell, but because money gets involved. And don't get me wrong, I love money. And maybe, you know, trust me, what's the creator of Naruto's name?
Kishimoto.
Kishimoto. Yeah.
Kishimoto has made his millions. So I think maybe if we took a break from Naruto and maybe 5 years down the line, he published stories about the kids or maybe even side stories in between the, ending chapter 699 and the epilogue of 700. I think that would have been a little better than him just saying, oh, we're going to do some, one-offs at the, you know, next year. And to be honest, I don't really want any more Naruto. I think they ended on a sweet spot. That being said, I'll read it.
Yeah. Honestly, to me, I'm agreeing with Chris that this should stop because really, you have to think about this. They can have wars and stuff, but there's no way it's going to be as grand as the ending of Naruto. Why? Think about it for a moment. Really think about it for a moment. Naruto's final enemy.
Was the ultimate enemy.
Was, yes, the ultimate entity, the mother of all ninjutsu, freaking Kaguya herself. So really, Naruto was the ultimate journey of friendship and kind of working together and then finding the root of all kind of almost evil or just like malice in the world. And we find it in Kaguya.
Well, I wouldn't say
that. I mean, she wasn't really malice, but just really that
the most powerful being in existence in the universe.
Well, I mean, like you can say that it's the root of malice because of what she did with the original Idara and
Idara and fucking what's his other name?
Yeah, the other son,
Ashura.
Ashura. Both of them were working together, and soon it was because of those two that was trying to work together to they only could seal her away, but because of their jealousy to each other and the power that they gained and the love of one to another, or what the people to one to another, eventually grew to that point. But yes, Sasuke and Naruto defeated Kaguya, the most powerful being in all of Naruto, the mother of all creation of ninjutsu and chakra and jutsu and all that.
The ultimate power.
And they beat her. They killed her or stopped her. And where else can you go with that? Like, you can continue. Not saying that they can't, but the story and the epicness is going to not be as big as that. If anything, we're going to run into a Dragon Ball Z symptom. We're going to run into that.
Naruto GT.
Yeah, no. So really, who is more powerful than Kaguya? Really, who can we bring in that's more powerful than her to make the story be that epic? I mean, yes, you can have these individual wars, but if you read the epilogue, all five nations are working together. So really, yeah, the smaller nations, but the smaller nations, are they going to be able to stand up against
a single big nation?
Yeah, or even the united power of them? Because Gaara is going to ally himself with with the Leaf.
I think everybody of the main nations are going to ally themselves with each other.
Not only the five major Shinobi nations, but also the country of samurais is with them.
Is with them. So you have the whole country of samurais. So really, the only way that they can do it is to bring in a Pain class enemy again. The group of Akatsuki that are just that strong. But really, you are going to... If any enemies hear that, they're going to fight Naruto and Sasuke, because he's going to come back because he's just wandering. The two heroes who defeated the mother of all ninjutsu really are going to really fight them. I would, if I was any type of bad guys or group of enemies, I'm just going to be like, fuck you guys, I'm done. No. Oh, Naruto's going to come after us? Peace. Sorry, guys. I know that we can rule this fucking place, but when Naruto's coming after us, sorry, peace. I'm not dealing with this.
Yep, totally agree with that.
Sorry, that's why I don't think Naruto should continue. However, I do agree that if they do side stories and the fillers in between, you know, like what that time jump, or heck, even just like switch it back to more of a shonen feel, and just be more kind of fun and lighthearted with Boruto and the kids growing up, I'd be okay with it. You know, like maybe go up to as far as maybe like do a quick one shot type of episode. Like a quick, like maybe a couple volumes to go into the new Chunin exam with them. Cause I would read that. That's fine. But overall, like Chris, yeah, if they do something stupid and jump the shark, I'll read it.
Yeah, I gotta agree. For Naruto, that's done. That if they're gonna expand it to their kids, should be a different manga. Not a continuation of where we stopped. Because, at the end, it's gonna, the whole manga is gonna fall apart. It's gonna be hollow. It's not gonna have no real meaning to it. And, for the anime, yeah, I would like to see some of the stuff that happened in the time when Naruto ended the war, up to the point where he became Hokage.
And I mean, we are getting the movie, so there's that, but I think if they do, which they are going to, do expansions. They really just need to focus in on the kids. They need to not do what Dragon Ball Z did, pass the torch to Gohan, and then give it back to Goku. They need to really just focus in on the kids and not worry about what the adults are doing.
All right.
What? You guys don't have any thoughts about that?
No, really? Honestly? Not really. This one?
It's over.
You agree?
It's over. I think this is over. Let it die, man.
Yeah, let it die. I think this is one of the few times where we're all like,
just give it up.
I mean, if you want a continuation, that means you weren't happy with the ending, but most people were happy with it.
Yeah. Not everybody was happy with it.
No, I know. There were a few people who weren't happy about it, but for minor things.
Yeah, well, no, I think the big thing that people were really pissed off about was the official ending pairings.
Which is a straight segue to our next question.
Yeah,
right. You like it? You see what I did there? Do we agree with the final shippings? Let's start with Miguel. Do you think it fits? Do you think it doesn't fit? You think it was too fan servicey? What's up with that?
I do agree with at least 80% of all the shippings. The other 20%.
What's the 20%?
Well, I will say, the pairing with Kiba and I don't know who was that girl that he was with. I did not recognize her.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's me and Kenny were trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I think
that came out of the blue. That's one thing.
Well, I mean, like, we had that that jump, but.
Yeah, I know, I understand. But see, like, right now we have no information about that character, so it's kind of out of the blue. Also the other one with Choji and the girl from the Cloud Village. I'm not saying that I don't agree with it. It's just that, like I said, it came out of the blue. It was like a curveball. They were like, wait, what?
Here's what I have to say about that. I feel that most of these people, just like in real life, would not have ended up with their childhood friends.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, because, okay, we know that Kiba is in love with Hinata.
Yeah, but he
he can't compete with Naruto.
He can't compete with Naruto. Yeah. That's Hinata's like one-sided all the time. But yeah, Choji, that was a surprise. I did not expect to see people from the Cloud Village to be that integrated into the lipid, especially Charlie, who all the time had been a shy character towards any empathy with the opposite sex, you know?
I got you.
He got this
kind of mature, though. Did you see Butterfly Choji? He spread his wings and flew.
That's funny. So looking up, Kiba married freaking Tamaki, which is a girl like introduced like
Tamaki.
No. This is a girl that they meet while chasing Itachi. So this is a girl that was like kind of like a side character type of
background character.
But she is actually she's part of like a cat. Can of cats and his dog. Fuck you, Kishimoto. That opposite attract bullshit. No, that's funny. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
What about you, Kenny?
Honestly, the pairings went exactly how I called it.
Some of them were even foreshadowing the freaking manga.
Well, yeah, like I called it. Like I knew Sakura would not go to like Naruto after after that one episode where Sasuke tried to kill her, and she still went after him.
I don't think it was as much Sakura as it was Naruto.
It was Naruto.
Right.
Naruto was like, no.
He's like, I'm done. No.
You're right. No. He was done. But like Sakura, because he knew in Sakura's heart that she didn't give up Sasuke. Now, Hinata, we already knew from the first series. And then really what solidified that was going to be the ship was when Neji died and was like, Neji's like, don't fuck this up, man. I totally died to get that bitch on your side. No, really. Neji basically was like, your life is not yours to live anymore. Your life is everyone's to live, especially Hinata, who sacrificed, who's fighting for you. And especially when she sacrificed herself for that moment and nearly got killed and him going for almost six tails to kick Pain's ass. That was where that shipping happened.
Yeah.
Now, Choji with the girl from the hidden village of the clouds. Yeah, we didn't really see much interaction, but I think he was just trying to pair them off. But what's funny, I thought was a funny pairing was freaking Ino and Sai.
And Sai?
That was a funny ass pairing because one, Ino only married Sai because he looked like Sasuke.
Yeah.
And that was called when she first met Sai and was like, ooh, Sai looks like Sasuke. I'm gonna go hit on him. And he was oblivious to the whole thing and said how he thought she was ugly and was like, oh, I should say the opposite of what I'm thinking and said she was beautiful. Oh, shit. If anything, that was a funny one.
That was funny.
Overall, Hinata and Naruto was the shipping that almost everyone wanted.
Yeah.
Almost everyone.
Almost
everyone. There's gonna be some stragglers that still wanted Kimata to happen. Sakura and Naruto. The funniest shipping that never happened was fucking Sasuke and Naruto. So, yeah, that didn't happen because that would have been hilarious. I would have bawled laughing, just be like,
they're like, I love you. I mean, I love you.
So if Naruto and Sasuke, if Naruto and Sasuke made out at like one of the scenes, I would have just thrown my hand up and laughed. It was like Kishimoto trolled everyone.
No, kind of like the guys from Legend of Korra did.
Dude, props to Legend of Korra. I'm okay with that, though. I am kind of sad that Asami is now spatting for the other team, but I think Asami was really, 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 really well drawn.
I hear you, motherfucker. Now, I didn't really care about the side pairings. I thought it was really cool that Choji married some random chick from the Cloud Village.
Yeah, not random.
She's not random. She was, I know, like.
She was introduced as one of the main team under the Hokage. The Raikage.
The Raikage, yeah. I know what you meant. Tamari
and Shikamaru. Well, okay.
That was 100% confirmed.
That was happening.
That was awesome.
Now, the fact that Sasuke
even look at
has Sakura. Been intimate with anybody is a funny thought. And so, like, I think the main two pairings are, it didn't throw me off because it's obvious, but I don't like when it's painfully obvious like that. You know, this ain't a romantic comedy. I guess Yeah, not a romantic comedy.
No, no.
Kishimoto did say when he was interviewed for the movie that he led the writing for that movie to someone else because he doesn't know how to write romance.
That's pretty true.
That's the reason why the parents were out of the outfield.
I mean, like, okay, Hinata loves Naruto. Loves him.
That was stated as the first appearance of her.
And to be honest, I know why. I see why. I get it. I feel that I don't want any, okay, here's the thing. I don't want any shippings to be pity fucks. I feel that Naruto might have thrown her a bone as a pity fuck, and then just, she was like, I'm pregnant. And he was like, shit.
No, I don't think it was a pity fuck. Really, if you really look at, the realization where he realized that what she meant to him, is where he would realize that he could reciprocate. Now, we won't see it until the last movie comes. Well, it's out, so I mean, we should watch it, but because that fills us in about how their romance. Actually, no, the last movie.
So we shouldn't be talking about this. We should just be watching the movie.
We should put on hold. No, we'll talk about it, but like, I was reading the reviews for it, and that's exactly that question that questioning of why that is a pity fuck and it's not based off of that movie.
Okay.
That movie shows us how he grown to love her and how much he actually cares for her and really like that whole thing.
Whereas Sasuke and Sakura.
That's a pity fuck.
What?
That's a pity fuck.
See, here's why I don't think it's a pity fuck. Everybody wants to fuck. That's a fact. Not everybody. There are people who say they're asexual.
No,
there are people who claim to be asexual. I don't want to get into the logistics of that, but so if you don't like anybody, you don't like anybody. That's fine. But 99% of the population has carnal urges. Okay, that's why we still live in the society that we live in, because people like to fuck. That's why the human race still exists. So in saying that, he would have at some time been like, oh, dude, I gotta fuck somebody. Oh, wait, this chick loves me? I'll fuck the shit out of her. Because I guess he could get anybody to really have sex with him. But, I mean, think about it. What other girl did he ever have meaningful interactions with other than Sakura? You know, that one chick who was part of his protege, that thought he was the shit who would always...
Oh, Karin?
Yeah,
Karin.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wasn't going to marry that slut. So, I mean, he had to get with somebody. He had to, you know, let it all out. And he might as well have let it all out in Sakura. And so, I mean, I think that was more, I think he does at some level love her. I think he does. I think he truly does. But at some level, I think he's just like, I needed somebody to bone. I think he's actually more interested in maybe his child.
Yeah. That was his main obsession.
To maybe establish legacy.
And create again his clan.
So, I think maybe one of the reasons he might have gotten with her is not that he doesn't love her, but because he wanted to continue his clan. You know how you continue your clan? You fuck. So, I mean, that could have been his objective with that, but I don't want to cheapen the relationship and say that he doesn't love her, because they haven't really expanded on that. They had that little moment in 699 where he was like, I'll be back for you, or whatever. And that was heartfelt, and I think he does love her. She definitely loves him. And so I think that made a lot more sense to me than Hinata and Naruto. But I mean, I'll watch the movie and I'll figure it out.
Yep. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. That is very true, Miguel. And on that note, thank you for listening to the third Mystery Nerdcast. This is Buddha Machingo signing off.